It's an inbound to Gibson. Gibson with 1 second, going to shoot it for three. Good night, Oklahoma. It's a Red Raiders sweep. Texas Tech has defeated the ninth-ranked Oklahoma Sooners 57-52 in an absolute Big 12 war.
It was a battle. It wasn't very pretty, but Oklahoma falls to Texas Tech. Oklahoma jumped from 24-9 in the polls. They lose number 13 Texas Tech in Lubbock last night 57-52. And the top 25 rankings out yesterday. Gonzaga number 1, Baylor number 2, Villanova 3. That has not changed for quite some time. Number 4, Michigan, Houston in the top 5. Texas slides from 5 to 6. Ohio State moves all the way up to 7. Iowa's number 8. Oklahoma from 24-9, but then lost last night. Alabama is 10. Tennessee 11. Illinois 12. Texas Tech 13. Virginia 14. Creighton 15. Virginia Tech at 16. West Virginia fell from 11 to 17. Missouri fell from 12 to 18. Haven't heard KU yet. Wisconsin 19. Florida State 20. UCLA at 21. Florida at 22. Ah, there are the Jayhawks. Ranked 23rd in the top 25 after losing 4 of the last 5. It's about where I thought they'd be, actually, for once. Purdue 24 and Drake 25. And remember, I was talking about Oklahoma State. Even though not ranked, could make a run. They are number 26 right now. They're the one just outside the top 25 poll. So KU in action tonight against K-State. We'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit. And if KU could win out this week, they would stay in the top 25. But if they would lose a game this week, then they would be out of the top 25 for the first time. It was 231 weeks, which I have to figure out how many years that is, because it's not like you're ranked 52 weeks out a year, because basketball isn't a full year sport. But I would guess that'd be about 10 to 12 years, somewhere in that range. That's pretty impressive. But Duke's not in the top 25. Carolina's not in the top 25. Kentucky's not in the top 25. And now Kansas is on the verge of, if they lose tonight at K-State, they should immediately just be kicked out of top 25 before they even get to the poll. Yeah. KU, K-State tonight on Z96.3 Lakewood. Pregame at 6:30. Tip-off at 7. KU is an 18-point favorite despite not being as good as they normally are, but K-State is not very good, as we know. All right. Local sports desk. They got wrestling locker room chats tonight.
Yeah, tonight we have high school wrestling locker room chats with head coaches Beloit, Osborne, and Smith Center. Those will begin around 5:10 to 5:15 here this evening. So you can tune in for those. Wrestling starting postseason already this weekend. So we'll preview that with the coaches and see what the chances are for their athletes are coming up on our high school wrestling locker room chats. If you ever miss those, you can also listen online at kittycountry94.com. Also, some basketball scores from last night, and then we'll get into today's schedule for basketball. In girls' action last night, Rock Hills went over Natoma 45-8. Jocelyn Lemke had 18 points, and Kerrigan Dunston added 11. On the boys' side, it was Natoma winning over Rock Hills 58-48. Jared Gillett led led Rock Hills with 18 points in that ball game. And then also Ellsworth got a sweep over Plainville 45-36 in the girls' game, 58-37 in the boys' contest. And Clifton Clyde, for the first time in their school's history, gets a sweep over Concordia. It was actually the first ever meeting on the girls' side that was recorded, according to what we've heard. Clifton Clyde won 50-46 over Concordia on the girls' side. The boys hadn't played since probably Clyde and Concordia in 1928. I didn't get the official whether it was Clifton or Clyde, but obviously that school didn't exist in 1928. But Clifton Clyde boys won 51-43 over Concordia last night as well. So that's a look at last night's scores. If you ever missed our scores in the air, you can check out ncksports.com. You can also look there for our schedule for today for high school hoops, and we'll go over the schedule real quick and then look at the games tonight on Katy Country 94. It's Thunder Ridge at St. John's Tipton. Pregame coverage beginning at 5:50 tonight. Also online at katycountry94.com, and then online video stream at ncksports.com with the Beloit Trojan channel, Republic County at Beloit. JV boys and girls will both be playing at 4:30. C team boys at 5:30. Varsity girls start at 6. Varsity boys at 7:30 here tonight in Beloit, between the Trojans and Buffaloes, a rematch of Friday night's games here tonight. And we don't have the call there on ncksports.com. Rock Hills at Sylvan Lucas tonight as well. Chase at Lincoln, Southern Cloud at Clifton Clyde, Pike Valley at Concordia, and Smith Center at Hoxie in the Mid-Continent League. So that's a look at what's going on here tonight as far as the schedule is concerned for high school hoops. Again, for all the latest in local sports, and if you missed our schedule, if you want to see our broadcast schedule coming up later, you can always check out ncksports.com.
All right, coming up, Tim Fitzgerald to go Powercat talk K-State KU tonight, and Bruce Weber's situation as head coach of the Wildcats. We will focus in on the games tonight on the radio, on the video stream. Let's start with St. John's Tipton taking on Thunder Ridge in Beloit tonight, and head coach of the Lady Blue Jays, Leah Bergman. Her team very excited about the matchup with the Longhorns.
I think it's going to be another tough, fast-paced game. They're always a tough team to play and one of the better ones in our league. So I know our girls were a little disappointed this year that we didn't have a league tournament because they were looking forward to playing Thunder Ridge. So I know our girls will be excited and ready to play. I think it'll be fun. If we come out and do what I know that we're capable of doing and what we practice and preach and just coming out hard, playing good, solid defense, and that's really shown to get our offense going. So as long as we focus on the things that we can do, I think it'll be a good game.
All right, so St. John's Tipton Thunder Ridge tonight. Darren Grauerholtz, he knows, defending the Blue Jays. Well, you got to defend the whole team, but there's one person in particular you got to keep an eye on.
You know, I think we've been playing some pretty good defense, though, and we got a couple things that we might have to pull out, but I'd like to stick to our game plan as far as just running our regular 2-3, get after it. We'll extend it out a little bit and just really try to keep an eye on where she's at, because that's one person, you know, if we can hold her in check, I feel like nobody else will really catch fire too much. Now, we've had problems with that in the past, but hopefully, you know, if we can keep Dubert in check, I think we're going to be okay.
All right, Dusty, you got the girls' game tonight. Thunder Ridge, St. John's Tipton should be a good one. And, yeah, usually many times they've met in NPL tournament. No NPL tournament this year, and this is usually a great matchup.
Yeah, and this, I mean, it's Coach Grauerholtz is talking about there. If you can hold Dubert in check, you have a very good chance to stay with St. John's Tipton no matter what night it is. So that's obviously the key for every team that's playing them, is to try to hold her down a little bit and not let her go off for 40 or 31 like she did then the next time. And you know, she's had some big games this year, but she's had some games where the shot wasn't falling. So that's what you hope as a coach, that you can get out and defend and make it a little tougher for her and make it tougher for St. John's Tipton in turn. But the Lady Jays are playing pretty good defense this year as well, and really kind of playing off of each other very well, even though Dubert does lead the way in scoring with 23 points a game. They have had others that have stepped up and really played good role for them this season. So it should be a very exciting game. It should be a close game, and I'm definitely looking forward to this one tonight.
All right, on the boys' side, Thunder Ridge and St. John's Tipton, and Devin Branch, the first-year head coach for Thunder Ridge, well aware of how good the Blue Jays are.
Assistant coach told me they're always a good group. Their coach been there for a while, and they've been learning the system. So it should be a good one. I mean, we come in and do what we're supposed to do. I feel like we're always capable of winning a game if we just stay the course and never give up on ourselves.
And on the flip side, Lance Bergman, head coach of the Blue Jays. Thunder Ridge, a team that is improving.
You know, if you watch them early in the season, new coach, kind of a young team, just getting things figured out, they look like they were struggling to be in the right spot, especially defensively. Obviously, coach has figured a lot of that out. Got them, you know, making the extra passes, doing the right things when it comes to that, and then playing better defense. I mean, if anybody gets caught up looking at the record, they've really made a mistake. I know they got a lot of young talent. I've known about it for the last couple of years, especially in the junior high levels. I'd watched them a couple of years ago, so I know that they've got a lot of talent down there, and that they're just going to get better with the more experience they play.
All right. What do you think matchup tonight that you have on Katie Kush 94 on the boys' side?
Yeah, boys' side, you know, kind of like what Coach Bergman's talking about there. You know, if they come out and execute, they're probably the better team right now. Thunder Ridge has been playing very well of late. They've got a couple wins in a row, played very good against Osborne, and have a lot of confidence right now with their new coach, Devon Branch, that's helping lead that group. And I think he's brought in a different kind of, like, mentality and culture for that group. And so you can't just go in and assume tonight St. John's Tipton, because of the record, that you're going to be able to win. So, yeah, should be a good game. And you know, like I say, St. John's Tipton probably has the edge, but you got to go out and play.
All right, that's tonight on Katy Country 94 on katycountry94.com. Make sure you get the free Katy Country 94 app and the Z96.3 Lake app on your smartphones as well and mobile devices. Tonight we have KU and K-State on Z96.3 Lake, but we do have Beloit Republic County, a rematch of a game just played on Friday up in Belleville. The varsity girls of Beloit won by 17. The boys won by 14, but that matchup really doesn't mean too much just a few days later, because they start 0-0. You don't start where you were up 17 or 14. Otherwise, that would be a big advantage. Sean Arimas, head coach of the Lady Trojans, now with a win under their belt on a rematch of Republic County tonight in Beloit.
It's going to be a whole different game. You know, you just can't expect it to go the same way. And so we know that going in. But we have three games, and I'm excited about every one of them, because we can definitely compete and come away with some wins, too.
Reagan Islett had a career-high 18 on Friday, including 4 3-pointers. Portia Cooper was 17. Beloit had their biggest offensive output of the year with 49 points. Rematch tonight against Republic County. And then the boys' game coming up tonight at 7:30. The Beloit boys taking on Republic County. And the Trojans won on Friday, down early 7-0, but came back and won 44-30. Their defense was very good. And offensively, both teams struggled to an extent. Here's Ryan Eilert on the rematch of Republic County so quickly after playing them on Friday.
Weird scenario, just like everything has been, but you know, good to have a home game against a team that we, you know, can compete against, and hopefully our kids, you know, show up with the energy they showed up with tonight.
All right, that's a video stream of the girls and boys varsity games along with the JV games. There is no boys C team game. We've been just notified about that, so it'll be JV girls and boys at 4:30, and then the varsity girls at 6, varsity boys 7:30. Republic County at Beloit tonight on the live video stream at ncksports.com via the Beloit Trojan channel. Anything else you want to add local-wise?
I think we got it covered there.
All right. Now we focus on the Sunflower Showdown between KU and K-State. Is it going to be a beatdown? Is it going to be a showdown? Usually when it's in Lawrence, it's usually a beatdown. Last year, it literally became a beatdown. It was a chair being involved, and there was a fight, and there was people leaving the bench, and everybody was wrong in what they did. Yeah, we're not going to go relive all that. Hopefully that doesn't happen tonight. I don't think it will. Bill Self, his team heading into February, because honestly, they're quite tired of thinking about January because it wasn't good for the Jayhawks.
It is a new month. We were not very good in November. We were terrific in December. We weren't any good in January. So now this is our month, February. And of course, it'd be a great time to play our best ball moving forward. So I do think the fact that it's K-State, the fact that it's a home game, I do think that brings a little extra charge to it as well.
Certainly was a charge last year, no doubt about it. Bruce Weber, KU, still a tough matchup despite them struggling, at least struggling in their terms, but not quite as bad as K-State, obviously.
It's pretty obvious. They've had their struggles also, not as severe as ours, but they've lost 4-5 for them. That's not a normal thing. They've had some shooting woes, and that, you know, that's what worries me the most is, if they don't shoot it well, obviously that's to our benefit. I think the big thing is we got to stay in front of them and keep them out of the paint. Obviously, Garrett's very, very good at getting to the paint. They have started throwing it inside a lot to McCormick. They've been going to their big guy more, kind of like a little more confidence with him, trying to find some scoring because they haven't shot it well. So we got to do a great job of preparation of some of their quick hitters where they feed the post that they've been really good at in the past.
All right, K-State 5-13 overall, 1-8 in the Big 12, at number 23, KU. Jayhawks 11-6 overall, 5-4 in the Big 12. Once again, KU an 18-point favorite, which seems pretty high considering KU's really struggled to score the last couple of games. But if K-State turns it over like they've been lately, KU will be able to score. KU 18 points. Did they cover 18-point spread tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah? Almost, wow, he didn't even think about it.
Yeah. I actually got a message in our group, can K-State cover tonight? And so I said no.
No? Okay.
So I'll just quickly
there was ever
say,
a time to cover, it'd yeah, be this
it
game.
It would, no doubt. But I'm not seeing it.
Wow.
That's 18 in Manhattan, I'd say.
Oh, yeah, I'd take K-State to cover in Manhattan. Yeah.
It wouldn't be that high if it was Manhattan, probably.
Man, oh, man. 18 points, KU's 11-6, and K-State fans are like, we ain't going to cover. Yeah, but they're all in the same boat. Remember that? Yeah, they're just the same. Whatever. Tonight, pregame 6:30 on Z96.3 The Lake. Will COVID-19 impact the big game? This is interesting. Dusty will vouch for me on this. Yesterday, I brought it up while we were in the lobby. Mm-hmm. I said, you know, Dusty, it might have been better if the Super Bowl didn't have a two-week layoff. Let's just go ahead and get it over with. Because 2 weeks, you got more of a chance of guys to get COVID, and there'll be even more testing, more chances of a false positive, false negative, whatever you want to call it. And only a few hours later did the news break, after we talked about this off the air. The Chiefs are impacted by COVID-19. The Chiefs have placed wide receiver DeMarcus Robinson and center Daniel Kilgore, which you may say that's no big deal. He's the backup center. If Austin Ryder would get hurt, I don't know who the Chiefs put at center.
Yeah.
Daniel Kilgore on the reserve COVID-19 list. According to Adam Schefter, both players did not test positive for the virus, but they were identified as close contacts. This is notable because if both players register negative tests during their five-day isolation period, they will be cleared in time for the Super Bowl. According to NFL Network, a barber who recently cut the hair of Robinson and Kilgore received a positive test result for COVID-19 on Sunday. It's been reported that all parties were masked during the encounters, which is good, which lowers the chance of actually transmitting the virus. But since the players were close to the infected barber for more than just a short period of time, they were deemed high-risk close contacts. So DeMarcus Robinson and Daniel Kilgore for the Chiefs did not test positive. They're close contacts. If they have negative tests during the five-day isolation period, they would still be able to play in the Super Bowl. So it doesn't mean they're out and they won't play. Doesn't mean they're cleared to play either. Robinson, I'm not overly concerned about that one myself because I think we might be better without Robinson. Have Pringle. More Pringle. Give me more Pringle. Mm-hmm. Which Tyreek Hill was saying yesterday in some of the media day stuff that he's been trying to vouch to the coaches, hey, man, Pringle needs to play more. So that says a lot right there. But Daniel Kilgore sounds weird. Robinson sometimes has more snaps, obviously. But Kilgore, I think, he's a backup lineman, and the Chiefs are already thin on the offensive line. So that was the one actually concerning me more.
Exactly.
On that. Major League Baseball, they will start their season on time. Major League Baseball Players Association has rejected a proposal for Major League Baseball to shorten the 2021 season to 154 games. Major League Baseball recently proposed the changes and offered to pay the players the 162 games, even though they're going to play 154, in exchange for an expanded 2021 postseason. In response to the union's rejection, Major League Baseball now says the 2021 season will start on time and as planned. Major League Baseball talked to a lot of medical experts, and they were saying it would probably benefit Major League Baseball if they would start late April instead of starting at the very beginning of April. The Players Association has said, no, we want to start on time. They also feel like the schedule will be hard to change everything with spring training so close. So the Players Union has rejected the proposal. So there you have it. No universal DH. Won't have to worry about seven-inning doubleheaders. We're going to go back to somewhat normal, I guess, with Major League Baseball, whatever that might be.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see if somewhat normal stays normal for a 162-game season. It's going to be tough.
I don't even know what normal is anymore, to be quite honest with you. I don't even know what it is. Like, is this the new normal?
We will find out.
Eventually we'll find out.
If we just go to normal or if we have a new normal or... I don't like that term, really, but because new normal is not normal. It's different.
Right.
I don't know.
Other information out there. Ex-teammate says Rodgers very upset. Aaron Rodgers wants the Packers to pay with a big extension, and he is very, very upset with the Packers. He thought they were just a player or two away after last year, and then they drafted Jordan Love. Didn't draft a single wide receiver in a very deep receiver draft. And, I think Rodgers has hit it fairly well. For the most part, but then after what happened at the end, and then the coach taking the ball out of his hands on top of it all, I don't blame Aaron Rodgers. I mean, honestly, he could be one of those guys that could demand a trade. It doesn't sound like he will, though. LeBron last night, a little run-in with some fans, if you saw that. LeBron actually said afterwards that he didn't think the fans should have been ejected. He said, listen, I had an argument with this wife's husband, or we had a disagreement, and... You know, there's not many fans in the stands, so you can hear things a lot better. And he said, I spoke my piece, he spoke his piece, and then his wife decided to speak her piece. And he said, I didn't think they really needed to be kicked out, but that's what they chose to do, so maybe they didn't want to escalate. So that's kind of interesting situation that happened last night. LeBron had a little bit of a banter back and forth with a Cavs fan as well recently, and all he did was promptly put 46 on the Cavs. So that got him going. The greats... like that little extra fuel and motivation. How about the Memphis Grizzlies? They've won seven in a row. Remember John Morant? You know, all the injuries and everything else that he's been dealing with, and they've been able to hang in there. The Lakers won last night of the Hawks. And also last night, where is it at? Oh, yeah, Devin Booker returned. He missed a few games with a hamstring injury. Hit the game-winning three with 1 second left to beat the Dallas Mavericks. Those are two teams that are very talented and young. Although Chris Paul's old, but Chris Paul helps the Suns. But how they can figure out how to get these guys together in regards to Booker and Paul being on the same page, it's a work in progress. Paul had 34 last night and 25 for Booker, including the game-winning three. So there's some NBA news of note. How are your Spurs doing?
Well, you brought up the Grizzlies. I didn't really need to hear that because two of the last two wins the Grizzlies have had are against the Spurs.
So. I'm sorry. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Last night was not pretty.
I'm sorry.
133 to 102 or something.
Oh, that is not pretty. No. Rockets won again last night. They beat the Thunder. So you look at the...
It seems like every time you bring up the NBA, like the night before that team beat the Spurs, you're like, the Rockets got the win without James Harden. I was like, yeah, they played the Spurs. That first time that Harden wasn't there, you know, and I'm like, man, it's like he's drilling it in and he's not even trying.
I'm not even trying. I don't even know. I don't even follow your Spurs, to be quite honest with you.
They're 11-10. They're actually better than... And what I might have anticipated.
They're the number 10 seed, so they'd be in that play-in
situation. Yeah, they dropped
from
4-10 with two losses. I mean, that's how close that is.
The Grizzlies are up to the 4 seed right now. Yeah. And after all the games they missed, they had a little COVID stoppage as well. Lakers now are the three behind the Clippers and the Jazz. Long way to go. The Sixers got a 2.5-game lead in the Eastern Conference. So there's your update on the NBA. If you want an update on NHL, NHL.com.
Yes.